Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The reason you created us is for eternal fellowship. And when that wicked world, that garden thought it will disturb God's plan and sever humanity from the Creator, he didn't know all the plan of God, God's plan B. He didn't know anything about it. Right there and then, Genesis 3:15, he promised. The seed of the woman, you will bruise it, it's seed, but if you bruise your head, the plan of redemption was put in place. And truly enough, at the hour appointed, God, the kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene, to reestablish that eternal friendship that he had in mind in the beginning. And here we are today, at the middle of his ministry. I won't call you servant anymore. I call you friend. Praise the Lord. Amen. Have eternal friendship with him. So we glorify your name, Father. We worship and we adore you. One of these days, as he promised, if I go away, I will come again. In John chapter 14, and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Lord, the day and the hour we don't know. But Lord, as you have told us and warned us, Lord, we see all the events. The roadmap you give to us, we see the red light flashing everywhere, so to say spiritually, awakening the true elect of God. So we thank you again for the age we are living in. It's a terrible time for the world. What they have seen so far, the Bible says, they think it's bad, just the beginning of sorrow. But a time of rejoicing for the elect of God. So it says, lift up your head. When you see all this, say, lift up your head, for your redemption dwells nigh. So may we continue to lift up our heads, irrespective of what we are going through. Bible says it shall be like that at the end of time. And no matter what we go through, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will always deliver them from them all. So we thank you, Father, that we are singing this morning, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send you the Comforter, and we are all witnesses. The Comforter has come. He is going to abide with us forever. We are still with him until the day of redemption. That's what the Bible says. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God has sealed his own, and the attacker can't touch them. And when the attacker will seal his own, God can't reach them anymore. And we are praying every day. Lord, we thank you for the fellowship here this morning. As we read your word this morning, Lord, let the Holy Spirit, the author of it, Lord, will go enlighten us again. Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Want to turn with me to Psalm 138. About the first two verses. I will praise thee with my own heart. Before the God will I sing praise unto thee. I will watch toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So by the grace of God, I will take a text on that last clause. I say this morning, the word of God magnified. Amen? Praise the Lord. Word of God magnified. Can you say so? See, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So this morning, by his grace, the word of God magnified. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, Apostle Paul, by divine inspiration of God, said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Then in verse 9, toward the end, he says this, ye are God's husbandry. So taking those two together, and I have another translation here, I call it Mofas translation, another Bible version, and I say the King James version, and nobody should err away from the King James version. You see? They are putting all kind of Bible out there right now. That is the only authentic Bible I know of. Nobody should err away from King James. Praise the Lord. God put his type of approval on the King James version. It's not any difficult than any of these polluted things. All these other Bibles, years and years ago, they have taken away things from the Bible. They changed things. Some of them remove Isaiah 7:14. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. The virgin shall conceive. Took it away from their Bible and so on. So we have to be very careful. Stay with the King James Version Bible. Praise ye the Lord Jesus. Anyway, so we see. Move our translation of that 1 Corinthians 3:6. He said this. I did the planting. Apollos did the word tree. But it was God who made the seed to grow. Verse 9 says, you are God's seed to be planted. Buffer translation, you know. So what is Apostle Paul sowing? What is he sowing? Sowing is seed, right? So, and another way of saying, so the real Christian today, you know, husbandry means many things. The real Christian is God's husbandry. You all know, husbandry means a farm, right? It means a farm, or a field if you want, or a garden. So you are God's farm. You are God's garden. See? What does he plant in that garden? His word. Amen? Praise the Lord. The Bible says, so say you are God's husbandry. So there's nothing to it. You just have to say that. So a field belongs to its owner. If you have a garden, it's yours, right? So we, being God's husbandry, or farm or garden, are absolutely God's. We belong to the Lord. We are God's. Christ bought us to be his field or his garden, his husbandry, with an infinite price. So he holds a title deed to us. When you have a house, you have a title, right? Even if you have a land here, yeah, have a title deed to it. So Christ holds a title deed to every Christian. See, we are God's husbandry and stuff like that, you know. We belong to him in so many ways. By the right of creation, we belong to him. Psalm 100 verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. I don't care what the atheist says. I don't care what the fossil science says. God created us, amen? And we created a particular we know. So, in that way, you know, so we belong to him by right of creation. Not only that, we also belong to the Lord Jesus by the right of preservation. 2 Timothy 4:18, the apostle writing, and the Lord shall deliver me, and that applies to you and so on, from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. And he says, amen. Praise the Lord. So it belongs to him by the right of preservation. And even more than that, the greatest fact is that we belong to the Lord Jesus by the right of redemption. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says this. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You see that one? You belong to him. We are Christ, right? Verse 20 says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, like I'm saying, what did Apostle talk? What did he plant? What did Apostle to water? Where? Are they? God brings about his wonderful harvest in the same way that the farmer does things. No. In fact, he gave a parable in Luke 8. He called the parable of the sower. You know? Another parable in Luke chapter 8, verse 5, he says, a sower went out to sow his seed. You know that parable. I don't have to go through all of that and so forth. Press later what the parable meant in verse 11. He told us the seed is the word of God. You see? So that's what Apostle Paul was sowing. The word of God, right? You are the husbandry. You are his garden. You are his farm. What is sowed in you is his word. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. Now the Bible says, even 1 Peter 1:23 says this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. He called the word of God incorruptible seed, right? The Lord said his seed, it's the word of God. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So the word of God is the incorruptible, or if you like, imperishable seed. God's word is. And because the seed can accomplish many, many wonders, God wants all his seed planted, meaning his word planted in you and I, all of it. I'm talking about God's word magnified, right? So we're talking a lot about the word of God this morning. to see how important, to put us in remembrance, how important God's word is, you know. So he called it a seed and so on, that, you know. He wants all of his seed planted in you, his garden. God's purpose in creating seed was that it might be planted in good ground. That is his purpose, really. Where it could germinate, grow, and bring forth fruit. And you know what? A seed is powerless until it is planted. Really, the reason is planted. Don't plant it, it's powerless. Now, the infinite price God paid for the seed, you and I, our redemption. Because when I'm going to be using the word, seed and you Christian interchangeably. I'll be using seed and the word of God interchangeably. When I say seed, I mean you, the Christian. If I say seed, I mean the word of God. So let's go that direction. The infinite price God paid for the seed in God's man's redemption. It reveals the importance of planting the imperishable seed. Tells us why, you know, if you plant the seed in you and I, you know. All of God's wonderful works are potentially in the seed. It's in the word. You see? All of God's wonderful works are potentially in the seed, which means the word of God, right? But those works are prevented from being manifested until the seed is planted in good ground. And you are that good ground, right? The garden of God has to be planted. God's design for all of us believers is that we spend our life making possible the germination, the growth of the imperishable seed, meaning the word of God in you and I. That is God's purpose all of our lives as God's children and so on. I'm talking about God's word magnified. This when he magnifies his word. Nothing can take the place of the seed. Not even prayer. Nothing can take the place of the word of God. Not even prayer. Prayer has its place, but nothing can take the place of God's word. Praise the Lord. Magnify the word of God. Thou hast magnified thy word above all other names is, right? The importance of the word of God. The only purpose of God's promises is their fulfillment. So when he makes promises, he wants to fulfill them. That is his purpose. When he makes promises to his people, he wants to fulfill them. All the promises of God are a revelation of what he is eager to do for you and me. Let me say that again. All the promises of God are a revelation of what the Lord is more than eager to do for you and I. Why will he wait? He will never withhold anything good for them that walk uprightly, right? Also, he's so eager to fulfill his promise for you and I. The Holy Spirit, whose work is to fulfill the promises, speaks of those promises in this language in 2 Peter 1:4. He called them exceeding great and precious promises. The Holy Ghost wrote in 2 Peter 1:4 concerning God, they are exceedingly great and precious promises. They are great in so many ways. Their greatness is seen in their suitableness to meet all your needs and to fulfill all your capacities. That's one way of saying how great and how precious God's word is, or his promise is. You see? You know, they are very, very suitable to meet all my needs, all your needs, and to fulfill my capacity and yours. Another reason for their being exceeding great and precious is their immutability, unchangeability. God's word is unchangeable. Even in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 17, we are a God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. You see that one? God's promise. The immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. So that's one reason why it is so great and precious. It's immutable. So the promises remove all reason for doubt. Why should I doubt the word of God? You know, many times we believe what man says than what God says. It's really a shame, really, you know. Anyway, the promises remove all reason for doubt and give us perfect reason upon which to base our expectations magnify God's word this morning. A seed, God's word. The promise cannot be changed. God's word is unchangeable. They therefore accomplish their wonderful results, God's word does. At any time, in any garden, you are the guardian. We are God's husband, right? So you are you. Any place, anywhere, it will accomplish their results in you and I. If you plant it in your heart and so on, that doesn't discriminate, you know. It is our business, therefore, as Christians, to prove to this world by actually demonstrating that the promises of God are as true today as they were 2,000 years ago. Our motto should be Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. I'll be ready by the grace of God, to fruit it to the world. That is true, by believing His word. God gave His promises so that they may be known. Want them to be known. Not only that, to be recognized, to be claimed. He didn't just give it for nothing. For you to know it, me to know it, recognize it, claim it, and plead them in prayer. That's why effective prayer has to be anchored on the word of God. When you are praying, find what you are praying for in the Bible. Many prayers go unanswered either because they are contrary to God's word. So, but real prayer, we have also faith. We have it anchored in the word of God. So you recognize God's promises, you claim them, and you plead them in your prayer before the Lord. Then your prayer becomes effective. They are to be sown and tilled by prayer. You are the garden, right? You are God's husbandry, right? So God's word is sown in you, and you till it by prayer and so on. In Romans 4:12, God speaks of us Christians as those who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. That is Romans 4:12. Now, if that be the case, and that is really the case, we should all treat every promise God has given in this Bible exactly as Abraham treated God's promise to him. That's how we should do it, right? I can show you one reason how Abraham treated God's promise in the same chapter of the book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 20. Here's how he treated God's promise. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Magnify the word of God. If he has spoken, say, as he said, and we not do it. Anyway, so we see. Now, of the Old Testament saints of faith, we call it the hall of faith. Hebrews 11, call it the hall of faith. These are Old Testament saints, right, from A to Z of that chapter and so forth. But here is the conclusion in the 40th verse, and so on. That God, having provided some better things for us, meaning the church of the living God, they saw the matter of lions, like Daniel did. Quell the violence of fire, the three evil children did, and some of that, But even after all those exploits, when it comes to his church, God said that without us, the church, they cannot be made perfect. God having provided it better things unto us. My question then is this. Can it then be that God is less real to men of this Holy Ghost dispensation than he was to those who live in the shadows of the better thing that we have today? What should it be like that, So anyway, we shouldn't let it be like that. And so we should believe God with all our heart and look at what God is doing for us and so forth, thinking about the Holy Ghost, and so has come to us and so that dreading in us. Now, in John 8:37, the Lord said this to the Jews, of his day. My word has no place in you. We are magnifying God's word, right? My word has no place in you, the Lord said to those Jews. Then the question I'll ask you today, what place should the word of God have in us today? What place should it have? We can name in so many ways that what God's word should mean to us. God's word also obtains and retains a vital place in our thoughts, in our memory, memorize them, you see, in our conscience, whatever you do, and our affection. You will hate what the Word of God hates. You will love what God was love. God's Word also obtains and retain in us a place of honor, reverence. Do you revere God's Word? Honor God's Word, reverence it, have faith in it, love the Word of God, and be obedient to the Word of God. Those are the things or the places that God's Word should hold in our life. Not only that, God's Word ought to obtain and retain in us a place of trust. Blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, you know, whose hope the Lord is. Praise the Lord. The Bible said, praise the Lord. God said, you know, I'm talking about, you know, it ought to obtain and retain in us a place of authority. God's Word has it. In Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power or authority over all the parts of the enemy. The final authority in this universe or universe is the Word of the living God. Praise the Lord Jesus. So it has to be so. Let us see God's Word in the light of what it really is. Magnify His Word. Now, we know that some millions of people across this, years, they sing that song. Even when I was in high school and so on, standing on the promises of God, and they all sing this and so on, that, you know, and we know that. Now, but the real fact is this, that most of God's promises are never claimed, and by most modern church members. They sing that song, but they never claim. Most of God's people don't claim all the promises. And we are languishing in need of this, in need of that, because they are ignorant. They don't claim, you know, God's promises. Standing on the promise of God means getting them fulfilled. Amen? You believe God's promise to be fulfilled. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's right. Today, just about the Word of God. You know, in my profession, you call something called metadata. Data about data. Talk about the Word of God this morning. Now, standing on the promise of God means appropriating the blessings that each promise reveals. So when you are singing that song, you mean you are determined to appropriate the blessings that each promise that God gives you, appropriate to your situation. It means praying the prayer of faith for the fulfillment of those promises. I keep on going. What standing on the promise of God really means. Now, one thing is this. Neglecting God's promises is equivalent to undoing what their fulfillment will mean if it were already accomplished. That's what really happens, you know. Anyway, their preciousness should determine our love and esteem for them. The preciousness of God's promises should determine our love and esteem for those promises. Paul was glad to say, I did the planting. No, he was glad to say it. Now, here is something that is mysterious. If all farmers today, if all farmers treated their seed as millions of church members today treat God's imperishable seed, the world will go on starvation. I say it again. You know, Paul said, well, gladly, I did a planting, talking about planting God's Word, right? The seed and all that, you know. I say if all farmers treated their seed as millions of church goers today treat God's imperishable seed, the Word of God, the world will starve to death. So we're not taking good care, you know, the way we treat God's Word. So it's magnified God's Word this morning. And you know what? In a seed, there are infinite possibilities in the seed, meaning in the Word of God. Infinite possibilities in the seed, which is the Word of God. And this is why it should be said of every Christian, as it was in the beginning, when the church was born, in Acts 2:41, they gladly received the Word. The Bible says, you know, that's how it should, what should be said of every promise of God. As a Christian, you must be able to pursue it. Every promise of God with an amen. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. Every promise, no matter what it is, God make a promise, you should be as a child of God, be able to pursue it, that promise with an amen in your life and all of that, you know. Anyway, just as there is a potential tree in a tiny seed, take any seed, maybe a grain of corn and so forth, that is a potential tree in every seed, right? A tree that is a million times bigger than that seed. Take any seed, for example, it could be a corn, it could be, you know, whatever. In it, there is a potential, tree that can grow up. And it be millions and millions times the size of that tiny seed, right? So, the same way that is a world of blessings in the plainest Bible text you can get. Millions, innumerable, infinite potentials of blessings in any of God's promises to you and I. Just one verse of scripture, if you allow it to germinate in your heart, it may grow into a harvest of thousands of conversions and the eternal glory that follows. Just one promise of God in your heart that you nourish, you cherish, you do that. Given time, even one kernel of wheat, just one kernel of wheat in the natural, can cover a continent and feed nations if it is nurtured, planted, nurtured, watered, and so on. That you know, it can feed a continent and so on. That you know, and as the heavens are higher than the earth, even so the result of cultivating the imperishable seed, meaning the word of God, are much greater and more desirable than the harvesting of a natural seed, really, you know. As the heart brought forth up yielding seed after its kind, we are told in Genesis 1:12, as the heart brought forth half yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit after its kind, even so only the imperishable seed, meaning the word of God, can bring about imperishable results. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. God's word will bring imperishable results for you. Now, if you cultivate it, talk about it later and so on, that you know. So it is that each promise of God reveals the nature of the fulfilled harvest by the promised blessing of that promise. Now, Apostle Paul didn't just say, I planted. Someone has to water it, right? He said, Apollos watered. So all the seed and all the plants in God's garden need watering. You are the garden of God, right? God's word, the seed in you, needs to be watered. You see, has to be. That's what the apostle said by the Holy Spirit. He planted, I know what like, the seed of God, what the word of God, has to be watering to it. Of the seed in the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, I talked about before, the Bible said in verse 6, and some of them fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung off, it withered away. Why? Because it lacked moisture, right? Lacked moisture. No, what the apostle say? I planted, Apollo watered, right? Got to water it. So if the seed is to grow, the ground must be kept moist. It is because of the lack of constant watering that many of God's plants are withering instead of growing. So a garden is meant to be a place of growth, right? So we are talking natural and spiritual here. When I'm talking about garden, I'm talking about you, the child of God. And the seed is the word of God. Kind of that, you know. So to the church at Thessalonica, Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, the call that your faith grow exceedingly. Not to cultivate even your faith, it grow exceedingly. We are all commanded to grow in grace. Another scripture says, which in 2 Peter 3:18, commanded to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18 says so. Give another scripture in 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Even in Ephesians 5:18, God says to every one of his little garden, you and I, we are his husbandry, right? Be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. So, and keep the ground most. Talking spiritually now, you are the garden, right? Keep that garden most. How do you drink? The moisture or the water is the Holy Ghost. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's right. The water is the Holy Ghost. Bible says, whom God has given to them that obey him in Acts 5:32. Get the Holy Ghost to them that obey him, right? So keep it moist. That garden, you know, the water or the moisture is the Holy Ghost. The fullness of the Spirit is the condition of the Lord's perfect working. See? The fullness of the Spirit is the condition of the Lord's perfect working. Watering the seed is as necessary as planting it. Isn't it? As we read in the parable, as the apostle told us, God won't make the seed grow unless we water it. That's our own part right here. And as Paul said, God is the one that gives the increase, right? He does. God made his promises for this one purpose. What is it? He always makes the seed grow when it is kept in good ground and watered. That's when God makes it to grow, right? But the seed has to be kept in good ground and watered. I mean, speaking this way or that way, and so forth. I think you understand what I'm talking about. So the growing comes after the watering. That's when God will make it to grow if you water it and some of that, you know. At one time, the Lord said in John 12:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit, he said. So now another thing is this, the intensity of all holy desire, your holy desire, the intensity of it will be measured by the degree of divine love that you have. Absolutely true. Say that again. The intensity of all your holy desire is measured by the degree of divine love that you and I possess. Even God himself, God's desire, which is much, much greater than our own, his love is greater than our own, so God's desire, therefore, is as much greater than ours, because his love is greater than ours. Anyway, his benevolence or kindness is so great that we are told in 2 Chronicles 16:9, God's benevolence and kindness, so great. And we are told in 2 Chronicles 16:9, that his eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. The Bible says, you know, he's watching over you, you know, just do what he says to do. He is continually seeking opportunities to bless you and I. Bless those whose attitude of heart makes it possible. We have to have the right attitude towards his word, you know. So he is continually seeking opportunity to bless those whose attitude of heart makes it possible. Go to work with him, cooperate with him. What God has promised belongs to you and I. If he promises it belongs to you and I as his children, and the justice of God requires that the Lord make the seed grow when it is planted and watered. God is a just God for you. That's God's word in you. When you water it and so on, God's justice requires that God will make it to grow. That's why we are told in 1 John 1:9 that he is faithful and just. God is faithful and just. Although talking connection with sin and so on, how to forgive people and so on. Well, the word just means what? God will be unjust to withhold from us what he has promised us, if we believe. But we know he's just, right? He's a just God. We have a right to what? and everything God has promised us. Don't let anybody turn you away. Any system or anything or any person or so, or devil or whatever it is, or angel and so forth, don't let them turn away. You away from any of God's promises. They are for you, they are for me. It is 100% fact that God makes every seed grow when it is planted and watered. When you do your part, God will make it to grow. 100%. No if, no what about it, and so on. We can all prove this to our present and eternal delight. Preach it to yourself and so on, that you know. One please even prove me now. Here with he said in Malachi. Say prove me now and so on, that you know. The Lord said in John 15:1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband man. And I tell you this morning, God is the best husband man or farmer in the universe. Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Watch that word in you by the Holy Ghost, right? And see it grow. And then make it to be what He intends for you to be, an overcomer like in faith. He that overcometh as I also overcame. So that is His will for you and I. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let me see this. That's timing to things too, right? That's timing. When you plant a seed and so on. That's God's timing. Different for you and I. The work of the imperishable seed, meaning the word of God, is supernatural. It is. Because it is God alone who makes the seed to grow. Paul may plant it, Apollo may water it. God is the one that makes it to grow, right? So anyway, God's promises are for us today. I want to keep on repeating that. All the promise of God belongs to you. Even we are told in the book, in one of the epistles, all the promises of God in Christ Jesus, they are yea and they are in, amen, to the glory of God. Praise the Lord. Don't let any system of devil or flesh cheat you or an eye for any of God's promises, no matter how impossible it may look to the flesh and so forth. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Anyway, so God's promises are for us today, and His time is always today. Where? We are talking about what God did 40 years ago, what He did in the past. Oh, what God will do in the future. What about now? In it? Praise the Lord. People don't talk so much about what God is doing right now. See? Anyway, so let us, and yes, God's timing is today. You know, in Hebrews 4:7, today, God's time is today. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart, He said. One thing happens. If you delay the acceptance of God's promises, you may lose out. Don't delay accepting the promise of God. That's what you lose out. When you hear it, accept it. That's what you do. Accept it. As well as you know. And the only way to be sure of God's promised blessing is to accept His time, His own timing. And we are told in another epistle, 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Amen? Praise the Lord. You need healing? Why are you postponing it? Now is the accepted time. Amen? God's timing. Praise the Lord. See? And anyway, so, I said God's timing for whatever you need. And since now is the time God accepts, that is His own timing. We shall accept it as our own time too. What are you postponing it for? You know, don't have to. I said God's time, it is now. Bible says now faith is, right? I believe in Hebrews 11, right? Now, the Lord commands us to hear His voice today. And He says, harden not your heart by waiting. Good? By waiting, you are harding your heart by waiting. What are you waiting for? God says it now. In Mark 11:24, the Lord said, believe that you receive. That's what He says. When? Now. What He says? Now. When you pray. Believe that you receive. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Then it guarantees that you will have it. Praise the Lord. Amen. We can't say these things enough. It is the truth. We just have to line up with the word of God. No matter how many times we have failed on this point, God's word, like I said, the immutability. It's immutable, amen? Amen. You say, and the Lord has changed not in Malachi. Praise the Lord. Amen. We must learn to line up with His way. His way is the perfect way, amen? Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. That's how it should be working and so forth, you know. So, and before the answer is manifested to any prayer you are making, faith says this: Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. That one is said in John 11:41. Why? That's what I was seeing in the tomb. Buy with grave clothes and so forth. And the only prayer he made, Father, I thank thee because thou hast heard me. Why? He was seeing in the tomb and so forth, you know. So anyway, even we have other examples in the Bible. David, in Psalm 22, verse 21, save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me for the horns of the unicorn. Another Psalm, 118, verse 21, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and hast become my salvation. Do that. Let's follow the Lord's way of doing things. No, that one was still dead. For this and so I say, Father, I thank you because you hear me always, he said. So, when you cannot see or feel, you can say this one and say, this is the time to trust the Lord. When you don't see or feel anything, you can convince yourself, this is the time to trust the Lord. The results are not to be manifested until after we believe our prayer is heard and continue to believe. That's the way it works. Believe first and so on, that, you know, and then you will see, you get the results. So the results of our prayer are not to be manifested until after we believe our prayer is heard and continue to believe. Now people pray over many, many things. They keep on praying and so on because they didn't believe the first prayer. You see? When you pray about something, and it's like planting a seed and going there by there and uprooting it and see that our height is growing, you know, it will never grow. Anyway, at such times when you don't feel or see, what do? Tell the Lord, thou art now working in response to my faith. I count on thy faithfulness. So, you know, it will never fail you. Now, when you commit into the hand of the Lord, what happens to you? The matter passes out of your hand into God's hands. The moment you make a definite committer of it to God. See? I mean, definite committer. You are saying, Lord, I bought the bridge behind me. However, I commit to your hand. It's now in your hand. When you have it, God doesn't have it. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
When you give it to God, leave it right there. You know? It will never fail you. No wonder 2 Timothy 1:12, Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed into him against that day. That's how we should take the word of God, you know, to committer, right? Prayer of committer. Leave it in his hand. He brings it to pass. And this is the way to receive everything God has promised us in his word. And now, the responsibility, anyway, that's what you do. One more thing before I close right now. Very short thing here this morning. What will be the effect of when you water that seed, that word of God, and let the Holy Ghost guide you, believing him and so on? What will be the effect? Let's see what David found that meditation shoes, like you chew something, right? Our spiritual food and get the sweetness. So many times you say, I will meditate. Meditation is very, very important, you know. So he found that meditation shoots our spiritual food and get the sweetness out of that spiritual food. It extracts, meditation extracts, so to say, the nutritive virtue of the word into our hearts and our life. Compare the spiritual with the physical right now. So meditation will extract the nutritive virtue of the word into our hearts and lives. Meditation has a digesting power and turns truth into spiritual nourishment. So, see, anyway, it is the word of God that Paul says effectually worketh in us all the divine transformation from glory to glory. So I'm putting emphasis on meditation, very, very important. See, day and night, meditating upon the word of God. He even told Joshua, this word of the Lord, shall not depart out of your mouth, but in it shall thou meditate day and night. See? So very, very important. Read the word of God, digesting and meditating upon it, and so very, very important. Anyway, in Psalm 119:100, David said it, I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. Meaning, by observing in his heart and life the precepts of the Lord, David understood early in his life more than those who lived in earlier times, because he kept God's word in his heart, always meditating, he said, day and night and so on. He knew more than they that learned in a whole lifetime by experience. He knew that. David, who began life only as a shepherd boy, you know how God promoted him in different ways and so on, that, you know, by meditating in and practicing divine precepts, you know, he obtained such wisdom and knowledge that he was spoken of as an angel of God. That is in 2 Samuel 14:17. I don't have time. He was called an angel of God because of meditating upon God's word. He was able to judge right and wrong. You know, many times in the Bible and so on, that, you know, right and wrong. In the same chapter, his wisdom is compared to the wisdom of an angel, all in 2 Samuel 14:17, and there is the power of meditating upon the word of God. And David's life was filled with praise and thanksgiving because of meditation upon the word of God. There's another kind of meditation people in the world talk about. We're talking about meditating upon the word of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. There are all these spiritualists and so on talking about meditation. I'm talking about that one. I'm talking about meditating upon the word of God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm just wrapping up, you know, this one out this morning. You know, and so on, that, you know. How much better this morning to be the Lord's garden, which you are anyway, than the devil's. You know? Praise the Lord. You are God's garden, filled with his word, right? Planted in you and so on. How much better is this and so on, that, you know. The possibilities of the imperishable seed are infinite, meaning the word of God. Nothing can be so beneficial as being God's garden, brother and sister, which you are. You are already that. See? Only God can know what the eternal harvest will be when you continue watering that imperishable seed called the word of God. Remember that throughout your Christian life, you are God's field to be planted. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. What an honor. What a blessing that God has said that you are his husband, you know, containing his word, which is watching over to perform. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. The word of God says, it said that thy word has thou magnified above all thy name. We pray that we will also be able to see the word of God in the light of God's eyes as he sees his word. Understand through faith that the world was framed by the word of God. Whether they are, I don't care, infinite universes. No, they were framed by the word of God. He put an S here in Hebrews and so on, that, you know. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Father, we thank you. Jesus said this, heaven and earth shall pass away, see my word shall not pass away. Lord, Father, when we hear the word of God, help us to pursue it, every promise with an amen, and claim it, know it, claim it, and it shall come to pass. So we thank you this morning. It's a delight to speak about your word and the infinite possibilities that is with us as we believe, water it, claim it. Lord, we worship and we adore you. So as we go this morning, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, help us to always have this word in our heart, Lord, in the name of the Lord, speaking the word only, or help us to keep quiet. If you can't speak the word, help us to keep quiet. Rather, help us to speak the word only to every circumstance. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.